Hey, you're listening to Podcast Rewind with Erica Jarvis and Amy Randolph.
This is the podcast about all of the podcasts that we just can't stop listening to. Enjoy.
Everybody, welcome to Podcast Rewind. This is a podcast about all the podcasts we can't stop talking about. I am one half of your hosts, Erica Jarvis, writer and creator of the blog My Revamped Life, and with me, as always,
that's me, Amy Randolph, co-host of Podcast Rewind and podcast lover in all ways.
Absolutely. Happy Sunday, Amy.
Happy Sunday.
Let's embrace those Sunday scaries.
Let's do it. Today's going to be a good day.
I think so, too.
It's a good day to do a podcast. This is episode 9 already of Podcast Rewind. We're almost double digits.
I know. Oh, we have 11 or so episodes.
Yeah.
But these are 9 specific, exactly show flow. We've done some fun pop-up stuff.
Yeah, our straight-up Podcast Rewind. This is our 9th time at bat. So let's talk about what we do here. If you haven't figured it out already, I'll tell you. We listen to podcasts.
And then we talk about them.
On a podcast.
That is so meta. It's so my favorite meta thing. Okay. I've told a few people, they're like, oh, you have a podcast. I'm like, yeah. What's it about? Podcasts. And they just look at me like, shit, that's good. I'm like, I know.
We found a niche. And, you know, one of the ones that I'm going to bring up later on, too, is another, like, I'm seeing more and more podcasters finding that, what is it that no one else is talking about yet, and getting into that niche and making it their own. And
yeah,
we just happen to have done it with podcasts.
Exactly.
So you guys, you can come here every week to listen to us recap some of the shows that we listened to and that we just had to tell each other about. Yep. And then thereby you, the listener. If you are inspired to go back and listen to the podcast yourself after that, we super recommend it.
Yeah.
And maybe you've already heard that podcast though, and then you just get to hear our take.
And what we would love is if you do go back and listen, or you've already heard it, leave us a note, like, on our Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Or, you know, leave something in the comments on Instagram. Tell us what your thoughts were on that podcast. Did we recap it the exact way you heard it? Did you have some things that we missed? You know,
what are your thoughts?
Chat with us.
Did you disagree? Did I mishear the entire podcast and just biff it for you? let us know. We love to hear from you guys. So what we also do on this podcast every week is we like to do a little cheers.
We do.
And discuss what adult beverage we're having today. I'm starting off. I did it last week, but it was so good. I'm repeating a little bit of bubbly with some raspberries in it.
Yum. Yeah, I'm finishing off an iced coffee. Woke up a little later than I wanted to this morning. Caught some Lifetime, Hallmark, cheesy Christmas movies, and was drinking some iced coffee. So when I'm done with this, I am going to hit up a delicious Red Cab. Mm. I won a case of wine on Instagram.
Tell us.
Yeah. Well, that's actually what I'm obsessed with this week, Amy.
Ah, that segue.
Yes,
though.
Thank you. So a few months ago, I was just interacting and engaging, as they say, on the social media with a wine company out in Napa called the Vinformance. And they were doing a contest where if you went online, subscribed for their newsletter, followed them on Instagram, you could potentially win a case of wine. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I won, and it was so exciting. Free wine always tastes better.
Way.
But these are really good wines from Napa. So they taste
awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah, you had a, what was it, Pinot Noir you were drinking last night?
Yeah, it was
amazing.
And
you gave me a sip, and it was no joke.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Cab next, and what I love about this company is that with every wine you get like a little tag. Here's what the wine is. Here's how much it retails for. You know, here are some important notes, you know, to the blend. Is this smoky or oaky or, you know, hints of cherry? But then it's like, hey, you should have this with, you know, pork chop from your dad's grill, and you should listen to Thunder by Imagine Dragons while drinking it. So
that's
totally,
cool.
Like, vibes with my style. So this wine gets me. It's delicious.
This gets me.
It totally gets me.
You know what? I was giggling to myself when you just said what I love about this wine company, because I thought you were going to go into, like, for every bottle you buy, they give a poor child in Africa a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
They're
like
the Tom's.
They're the Tom's of the wine company.
And then I was, like, getting ready for you to tell me that, and then realizing, like, that's not that shouldn't
all.
Be any wine companies, like,
no, but what if they did that for, like, a gift back program? For every bottle you buy, we will give a poor college kid
or, like,
a wine sample so they can finally know what real wine tastes like and not gut rot.
Like, we plant a grape in Africa so they can grow their own wine. like make money for their village. And that's not a terrible.
That's actually not a terrible idea.
Let's write that down. Okay. Can I tell you? I'm obsessed with something.
Yeah.
It's a story I've been dying to tell you about how I am a garbage person.
Okay.
I did the most garbage thing a garbage person can do.
Which is?
First of all, this is a story in 2X.
Okay.
I bought a box of wine from Walmart.
Okay, sidebar. I love how you said that, like, right after I was like, I got these really delicious Napa yeah, wines.
No, I'm telling you, I'm garbage. I'm garbage.
All right, lay it on me.
Here's how it gets more garbagey. I opened the box of wine,
mm-hmm.
and then I returned it to Walmart, open, and got my money back.
That's, well, I mean, if it was gross.
I drove back to Walmart with an open box of wine, walked it in from the parking lot, didn't even put it back in a bag, just in my hand, walked it in, put it on the counter. I was like, this is defective.
What'd they say?
Well, their first response was like, man, we can't take back alcohol.
No.
And I was like, I explained, like, well, I'm not bringing it back because it's bad. I'm bringing it back because this can't possibly be Pinot Grigio. Because I opened this wine, a box of wine that I bought at Walmart. I brought it home and thought it might be drinkable. So I put some in a glass, and the first thing I noticed was the color was like
deep yellow.
Deep yellow. Like somebody that's only had coffee and Coke for 6 days, their urine would be the color of what came out of this box.
Probably more palatable, too.
Probably. So I took a sip and I was like, absolutely not. I mean, there's no way that this was.
And you can drink some nasty wine and put it back.
Some gut rot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Whereas I'm like, oh, this bottle's bad, and I pour it out and you're just like, no!
Yeah. So that'll teach me about buying wine at Walmart.
You know what you should be buying at Walmart is like toothbrush and like beer. Because beer is fine.
Exactly. Beer's fine. So yeah, I wanted to share that story with you because I was embarrassed. I was not proud of myself. But I had to share that with all y'all.
Well, thankfully you didn't, like, run into anybody you saw that were like, Amy, is that an open box of wine coming back into Walmart? That's funny. I did go to that Walmart after you.
Yeah.
Because it just opened up around the corner. I'm like, oh, we'll give it a go. And, like, within 10 minutes, I was like, I've already pinpointed, like, 17 people I want to murder.
Exactly.
If I do that, though, maybe I'll end up on a podcast that you eventually recap, and I'll hear about it from you. I was like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah. Like you said, this Walmart near us just opened. It was just built. And I went in there, too. Like, all right, let me see. I haven't been in a Walmart in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Let me see if anything's different.
Nope.
You know, like, there's a Walmart smell. Like, I walked in and I was like, yeah, I'm at Walmart.
About that poured concrete that they just, like, glaze over.
Yeah.
And those low-hanging fluorescent lights and just weird plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, smell.
Okay. Not to be rude about people,
this isn't a podcast about our thoughts on Walmart, but it should be.
It's not. Should we talk about podcasts?
I would love to talk about some podcasts.
All right. I have a podcast recap for you.
Awesome.
This is way different than really any podcast I've ever heard, because this is the first time I've ever listened to a podcast that was fiction.
Okay.
It was a written story instead of something, you know, nonfiction is what I typically listen to. And not only that, but this was a podcast musical. So if you caught Drunk Episode 1, I talked about it a little bit because I had I had just started listening to it. But this is called 36 Questions.
Cool.
I am
excited to hear more about it because we did dabble into it and we went in and we looked at the questions. I had a lovely moment of being like, oh yeah, this guy I'm dating, questions. You know, like 24 hours later, I was like, oh yeah, I need to find 36 questions with another person and check it out.
Right.
So this is cool.
So this is a thing that I had kind of heard about out in the zeitgeist, but have never really gotten into so much. There are a set of 36 questions that were published that theoretically, if you ask them to a new partner, like on a first date, you will fall in love with one another. Or, I mean, you have to be right for one another, but
I can imagine.
Like through going through these questions, you'll discover whether or not you do or do not love the person that you are sitting across from.
That makes more sense. Like not necessarily you will fall in love, but this can lead you up to know within one date whether or not love is an option for you too.
Right. So the writers of the musical, podcast 36 Questions, took those 36 questions, the pop culture thing that's out there, and they wrote a story around it. So the story is about a married couple The man is played by Jonathan Groff, who's...
Ooh, I love him.
Yeah, an amazing actor. Got his start on Broadway. A brilliant singer.
Easy on the eyes.
Easy on the
eyes. Which doesn't matter on a podcast.
And he's getting more and more famous all the time. Yeah. He was the voice of Kristoff in Frozen. Mm-hmm. So, like, that really catapulted him out there. And then the woman is Jessie Sherman.
Okay.
That plays the wife. Now, here's where we start. So, when you start listening... you realize that this is a couple who's married and they're on the brink of a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The husband, his fictional name is Jace, is gone off to the cabin that he grew up in, like in the woods, upstate from wherever they live. I think they lived in New York City. So uh-huh. He's like upstate New York, like in his childhood cabin. And, you know, it's kind of breaking down and stuff and he's trying to fix it up. And then the wife is basically like stalking him. And all of this is kind of, like, the premise for this being recorded, all of this that happens between this husband and wife, is she's got an iPhone and she's doing voice memos on it. So she's kind of, like, narrating what's happening. And you know, that's, like, their real, like, application. Like, why would all of this stuff be recorded?
Yeah.
Them asking each other these questions. So you get the sense that he has taken off from the marriage and she's now chasing him.
Got it.
And then once she gets there and, like, knocks on the door... you find out that he left her because she lied to him about who she is.
Whoa,
he believes her name is Natalie, and he believes all of these things about her because she created Natalie. She created documents for Natalie. She created a backstory for Natalie. She's not Natalie. And you don't find out until the end of the first act what her real name is, but you find out that the reason he has left her is because he uncovered that she's leading a double life and she is not at all who she presented herself to be when they got married. Right. So she tracks him down and she wants to make up. She wants to apologize.
Yeah.
And she says, do you remember when we did the 36 questions? So you learn that this couple, when they met and when they first dated, did the 36 questions and fell in love, got married. He thought he had this great life with his wife, Natalie. And then come to find out she's Judith. Her entire life.
Hey, Jude.
Judy.
Judester.
So she's coming back to him and she's saying, I'm sorry. She brings all the documents that she falsified as Natalie and like does a symbolic burning of them in the cabin. And by the way, I mean, it's funny, like the cabin is sort of like a third character in all of this because it's creaking and there's a storm outside and they lose power. Oh, also there is another character too, Henry the Duck.
Oh yeah, obviously.
He has a like, while he took off, he found this duck and he's made it his like kind of sidekick companion. So, I mean, this musical is very funny. And for those of you that may not be, fans of a lot of musicals, like when you say musical, you're probably thinking a lot of tap jazz, you know, tap dancing and like loud orchestrations.
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's for anyone that does listen to a lot of musicals, if you know The Last 5 Years by Jason Robert Brown, it's just two people, piano, some strings, maybe some guitar, but the orchestrations are simple and it's about the lyrics of the song and the beauty of the voice more so than like big show tune. You know, so
there's no talking, right? You said this is
No, there's lots of talking.
Oh, there is.
It's mostly
okay.
Talking.
And got it.
Like in a classic type of musical, when the emotion swells so much
then
that you've got to move beyond talking.
Got it.
Express yourself via song.
Got it. Like, no, does Henry have his own song?
He doesn't have a song,
damn.
No, but there is a Lud Duck voice. And actually, at the very, very end, when they're doing the credits, they're like, Henry is played by like Bing the Duck or something like that. They got a real duck.
That's
recording,
awesome.
You know, that they plugged in there. But anyway, so at the end of the first act, he is telling her, I am not getting back together with you.
Yeah.
And she says, but let's please just do the questions. So they're both singing and he says, fine, I'll get through these questions with you just to get you out of my life and to remind myself why I'm so angry that you lied to me. And she is committing that she's going to answer the questions as Judith now and let him really get to know her.
Okay.
So that's where we end Act 1. They ask each other the first question, and then it ends.
Got it.
Act 2, and by the way, there are three acts and they're all 46 minutes long. So it's just over a 2-hour, 15-minute commitment. So you can bang it all out at once.
Which is a musical. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So Act 2 opens up and they're drinking a little bit because she showed up at this cabin and the lights have gone out because of the storm. So they've got whiskey and they got wine and they're drinking and he's still very resistant to her, but she's kind of really coming on to him strong.
Uh-huh.
And again, the characters are really funny. It's it's really funny. But so throughout this, they're starting to answer the questions. Mm-hmm. They get up through question 13 by the end of Act 2. But also they've left because her phone is dying and she's doing all of this on voice record. So they get in his truck so she can plug in his phone and they're driving around. And then, like, they get out at the beach and she is finally opening up about...
Does he know she's recording this the entire time?
Yeah. She's got the phone out. Like, you would if you're voice recording somebody. Got it. And, well, I guess sometimes people hide their phones. No, it's full out in the open.
Okay. It's Kosh.
It's Kosh, right. So they're starting, you know, she, like I said, she comes clean about a lot of stuff and has some really traumatic childhood stories that she tells him through the questions. And they've gotten out and they're, like, sitting on the beach and they're asking a question and she says something that overtakes him and he kisses her. So she's like, yes, this is working.
Totally working.
So then she convinces him to go to a motel because there's still no power back in his cabin. So they get into this motel. They're drinking everything in the mini fridge. They're getting drunk. They get up to the questions. And I don't remember exactly what question it was, but he remembers that she has lied to him.
Yes.
And has created this other person because he's starting to... You know, because she's trying to tell him, like, Judith and Natalie are the same person. And I was real when I was with you. Like, Judith and Natalie both like to drink hot tea. And Judith and Natalie, you know, like, there are so many things that I infused into Natalie that really are me. And let me just kind of give you the other facts of my life so that I can fully be Judith with you. And she says something that just strikes him off. And so he, at the end of Act 2, gets up and leaves the motel. I'm like, no to this. And she's heartbroken.
Yeah.
So Act 3 picks up with her. By the way, he left her at the motel, so she had no vehicle because the vehicle was still back at the cabin. So she, in Act 3, is picking up and she's, like, voice recording and she walks the 10 miles from the motel to the house. By the way, by the end of Act 2, they'd only gotten up to question 19, and that's really important later. They get through question 19, and so she wants to go back and finish these questions and get him back. And shows up back at his cabin and... he is really not responding to it. And he says no. And in fact, his moms are flying in to come stay with him at the cabin. And he's like, I am leaving to go pick up my moms from the airport. And when I come back, I don't want you here.
Yeah.
So he leaves her for the third time. You know, he's left her originally and run upstate. Uh-huh. He left her in the motel and then he leaves her again at this cabin. And so she sits on the front porch and it's hauntingly beautiful. This song that she sings about recognizing that she's going to have to live with what she did and let him go and move on. And so on her own, she finishes the last 16 questions into the voice recorder and leaves them in his mailbox and leaves.
Oh, okay.
So the next thing you hear, because again, you only hear what's on the voice recorder. The next thing you hear is him opening it like, okay, Judith, I just opened my mailbox. I see the phone, you know, for the record, I get what you're doing and it's not going to work. So I'm going to mail this phone back to you. So then the next thing you hear is he comes on and he says, hi, it's Jace again. It's 2010. It's a year later.
Oh.
So I didn't realize while I was listening to all this in the first place that everything was happening between the two of them was happening back in 2009.
Yeah.
So then you come to learn, like, this is a generation one iPhone. Yeah. So anyway, he pops back up and he's like, hi, it's 2010. I haven't touched this phone in a year. I was just thinking that it's been a year since I've seen you or talked to you. I'm in a new relationship. Things are going well. And I just listened to what happened between us for the first time and for the last time. I'm never going to listen to this again. I'm going to get rid of this phone. Click off. Click back on. Hi, it's 2015.
Oh.
It's been 5 years. I'm still with the girlfriend, Lisa. You remember Lisa. Lisa was a, you know, mutual friend of ours, so she obviously knows about you. We have a son together now, Cooper. Everything's really great. Lisa just came across a thing on the internet called the 36 questions and wants to try them out with me, and it made me think of you and this phone, and I just picked it back up, and man, this generation one iPhone still works. And so he's like recording into that, and then click off, click back up. Hi, it's Jace. It's 2017.
Okay.
I am not with Lisa any longer. You know, I have visitation of Cooper, my son, and I cannot get over the guilt I feel about having left you three times. And I listened back again to your answers to those last 16 questions, and I realized that I didn't answer the last 16 questions and that you deserve that. And I think this is what I need to do to finally let you go and move on.
Wow.
So he writes out all of his answers and he puts them in a PDF.
Because you can in 2017.
And he Googles her like you can in 2017 and gets a hold of an email address for her and emails the PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful, beautiful song he's singing while he's writing, you know, the answers and talking about, like, here's to never looking back. Here's how I'm going to get over you.
Yeah.
So he sends off the email. And then he clicks back up that voice recorder. It's 2 days later. And she's written him back and says, nope, that's not how it goes. You have to answer the questions face to face.
Oh.
So, and when I was listening to all this, I was trailing myself that when it comes to the recap, I'm going to stop here. Yeah, and like, you have to go listen to yourself what happens in the end. But I will say that they do meet face to face. And the way it ends, you may be satisfied with, or you may not be.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that the last song they sing together is beautiful. The interaction that they have, they open up that iPhone again, and it's on the table, and the interactions they have are funny and sweet. And so you realize it's been 8 years since they've laid eyes on one another, from 2009 to 2017. And I don't know how they got divorced. They must have just done that with paperwork.
I guess.
Lawyers. I guess.
Emails.
It was stunning. And in the end, I realized, like, it's not, I thought I was in for a love story or for a heartbreak story, but I came in the end to realize that, like, this is a musical about what is true and what is perception and honesty and how much, why people lie, and people sometimes lie for good reasons.
Yeah.
But what, when you uncover, like, what can you accept in your partner as far as, like, honesty goes, and we're probably all different.
Yeah.
And also, it's just a great listen. Like, one of my favorite musicals I listen to over and over again, and this will, you know, definitely go on the list.
I wonder if you can get those songs.
You can.
Oh, you can?
Yes. They begin and end every episode with the composers and writers of the whole thing, doing a little commentary, and they say, like, oh, you can go, I think it's called Boot Camp, the app that they keep talking about. It's not one that I'd ever heard of before, they say you can go purchase the songs there.
Oh, okay,
but
cool.
This podcast is out there too, theoretically. I listen to it on Stitcher. I know it's on CastBox, but that will theoretically be there forever to keep going back to.
Yeah, well, I think one of our listeners, Jen Hilzer, who shared with me about it, I think you listened to it.
Yeah, it's right there on our board when we first got our first wave of recommendations in.
Yeah, she's going to be so excited to hear this one. I was talking to her the other day, and she loved this one. She's a huge musical theater fanatic, loves Jonathan Groff, all of that stuff. So she was ranting and raving about this one.
And I have to thank her. Thanks, Jen, for the recommendation. I adore it, and I highly, highly recommend it. Obviously, what I just recapped for you, too, like, doesn't even give it true justice because
you didn't sing for us.
Yeah, I didn't sing. I just kind of gave you the story, and I have to fully, fully encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that with their own ears.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, Amy, you went in a love direction.
I know.
You know how happy that makes me.
It's so weird for me. You know, Christmas is coming. Feeling the love in my heart.
Feeling the spirit and the holiday cheer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing that I also like to talk about other than, like, love and dating are a lot of celebrity-style podcasts.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so one that I have listened to, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, is Straight Up with Stassi.
Uh-huh.
With Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules.
Which is, like, it's a whole dramatic situation.
Exactly. So that's what I wanted to chat about.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of episodes in this, you know, conversation. One, a few weeks ago, she had one that was, I can't even tell you the title of it anymore because she deleted it. And it was called, like, Are We on a Witch Hunt for Men? All about the whole hashtag Me Too.
Yep.
And I know that you popped up one a couple weeks ago about the Louis C.K. Me Too, Me Too Again, you know, all of those items. But so from her perspective, and, you know, she talks about being in the entertainment industry. Okay. I know that, like, reality TV stars are in the entertainment industry, and now she does have a podcast, so that does give her that credit. But it's also so funny to think that it's like, okay, well, I get up every Monday to Friday and go to a job. Like, that's a
– right.
But yours, okay.
Like, I wouldn't say we're in the entertainment industry,
no.
You know, like, from this podcast. Like, at my job, I actually do a lot more entertainment-focused
I wouldn't say I'm in the tech industry because I'm at a computer right now with some mics, but I definitely do tech stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm in the entertainment industry, but not because of this show.
No, these are passion projects.
Right.
Side hustles. so, with her side hustle, of her podcast, she had on one of her friends, and they talked, you know, for about an hour in regards to the whole Me Too, mm-hmm. and just really kind of dove into, are we just going to fire every guy that, you know, an allegation comes out against? Shouldn't we do a more of a deep dive? Which, okay, I 100% agree with that statement, but mm-hmm. she took it even, like, further. Like, you know what? You really can't force me to go down on a guy. You can't force me to go up to a hotel room. It's like,
I think that's what's so grotesque about what she said. Clearly not understanding or having the empathy for fellow women and not understanding. Yeah, no one tied you up and made you, but psychological pressure is a real thing. And it's happened to hashtag me too.
Absolutely.
It's happened to me.
Yeah, it's just, it's a sensitive topic. Especially when, you know, her intro is all about, you know, TV and celebrities and, like, interviewing people. This isn't your lane then to be talking about this if you're so drastically uneducated. You may have this opinion, share it over some cocktails with your girlfriends, but don't put it out on a platform. And so she did, and within minutes, the repercussion that went out there. Mm-hmm. She lost sponsorships. Like, listeners, fans of hers were dropping off left and right, and she really felt like it was over about, like, a 40-second you know, moment in the podcast, but everyone was saying, like, the whole podcast was offensive. And so she took it down, and some people do have, like, you know, bootleg copies of it and transcribed it for the internet. And it's nothing that I think I need to read mm-hmm. or listen to, but she did eventually put out on her blog a big, long, you know, apology. So in the episode,
Did you read the apology? I have not. So did it seem like she had learned something, or was she apologizing because you just have to when you mess up like that?
So I would say 70% she apologized because she had to, 30% because she actually felt bad about it.
Okay.
Because still in her apology letter that she ends up actually reading on air. So in the episode that I want to talk about, she's got one of her friends on, Taylor Strucker. And Taylor is a, you know, radio DJ. She had a show on Sirius XM, Wake Up with Taylor.
I listened to that
on
show.
The Stars channel. Mm-hmm. She's got her own drama. As within radio, sometimes you just lose your contract.
Yeah.
She's been taken off the air. She can't talk about it, but she's on Stassi's podcast.
Right.
Kind of talking her through,
which, hey, you messed up. I didn't know until you had mentioned to me that she was off the air. It's I had listened to Wake Up with Taylor, but evidently I wasn't a, you know, passion listener, because I didn't even realize it was off the air.
Because we're too busy listening to podcasts.
I'm listening to podcasts.
And yeah, it was serious. If you miss it, you miss it. Like, it's like a normal radio show. But so yeah, so she had Taylor on to kind of help her out during this, you know, apology episode. And so she did read the letter on air, and it was just a lot of, like, I still think this is the conversation we need to have, not going after men. You know, maybe I was too ahead of my time. I want to be there for the conversation. I know. That's where it was like, that's the 30% where you still believe in whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on to say, like, you know, please email me your stories, all of that stuff.
Oh, no.
I get so, and that's where, this isn't your lane. Please go back to talking about what it's like to film on, you know, a reality show or being friends with other podcasters. And I just want to hear fun, light kind of conversations. I don't need to hear you at 29 get educated about what's going on in the world with women and sexual harassment and serious situations that women are going through. You didn't know this was not the place in front of a microphone for me to hear about you and, like, you finally learning. Like, that's ridiculous.
You know, it's funny that you say that, and Stassi, I heard her one time on Bitch Sesh as a guest. With
the
Casey.
Reality Housewives one.
Yeah. Well, all things Bravo, really.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Casey and Danielle, who are both in their 40s and have, you know, families and established entertainment careers.
Correct.
Had her on as a guest, and I remember she was really, like, open about, the older I get, the more I realize I know nothing and I'm actually an idiot. And they're like, oh, you're becoming wise. Like, we all know now, like, when you become an adult, how much you don't actually know.
Exactly.
And accepting that and is a wise thing. It's a thing that comes with age and in experience. So then to, like, hear how she's turned around and been such a saying that she is ahead of her own time, that she is so, you know, forward thinking and we can't catch up to her, is disheartening.
It is, because she explains, like, you know, for example, I'll just use the example, she didn't say this, but, like, you know, Kevin Spacey no longer is House of Cards, because Kevin Spacey, dirtbag.
Scum.
Come out, sir. But had Netflix decided to take down House of Cards and not continue, with
Robin Claire. Wright Penn.
Thank you. Yes.
Robin Wright.
Yeah, she divorced Penn a long time ago. But yeah, how they decided.
When's he going to go down, I wonder?
Probably soon. Get in line. But had they taken down the show because of his actions, how many people would have been out of work?
Yeah.
And so what she was saying is every time we fire a guy without any, you know, deep dive, you are going all the way down to like the grip boy and affecting a lot of people. And I 100% agree. And I don't think that for one second these studio heads and executives aren't thinking about those things, you know.
Other than the revenue they lose by their most popular show being gone.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, Matt Lauer left. He had maybe an assistant. Today's show is moving on.
Doing ratings better are ratings. Up.
Oh my God, the ratings are up.
I just read that the other day.
Yes, good for them.
Get it, Coda.
Yeah. So that's where it's like, okay, I see what she's saying, but this is not the climate and or the time to bring that up and say, you know, are we on a witch hunt against men? No, people just finally feel like they have their voice to come out and say something.
Right.
And feel like, oh, I'm not alone. Me too. I've got a sisterhood behind me. Got a brotherhood behind me. Men are now finally feeling comfortable to come out and say certain things. So she kind of really deep dives into that with, you know, Taylor Strucker. And, you know, of course, she's only having people on that are her friends. And
sure.
People who like can give, you know, testimonials to her character.
Yeah. Well, she has some apologizing to do.
Exactly.
You know, do you think she said something like that in an effort to be that cool girl?
I do think so.
And I'm talking cool girl in the way that it's explained in the book Gone Girl.
Yes.
Which then became kind of the zeitgeist because thank you to the Gillian Flynn who wrote Gone Girl because she finally put a name and put to it that thing that we see so many women do. When they're like, oh, I would rather drink beer and watch football with the boys than a makeover with the girls any day.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm tiny and gorgeous, but I didn't try to be.
Uh-huh.
I'm just this way.
Oh, yes.
That girl, she puts the name, like, the cool girl. And none of us are cool girls.
No.
But there are people that will bend over backward to try to prove that they are.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, Stassi has definitely got her. We see on the show her group of girlfriends, and it's, you know, girl code and girls first and all of that. But I think there's some cool girl in Stassi.
I think so, too, because
to be
cool she
girl.
Went on to say that, you know, when she first got the show, Vanderpump Rules, she went and, like, went back and rewatched so many episodes and seasons of Gossip Girl to try to mimic herself as Blair Waldorf and, like, be that person in her group. And I, like, looking back, I'm like, you did have a lot of headbands and ribbons. Like, thought that was weird for a grown woman. But, yeah, I mean, her personality, I love her on the show. I do generally like her podcast.
Yeah.
I just, you know, was like a lot annoyed. Like, this wasn't your lane. I see what you were trying to do. No, I don't think you were ahead of your time by any means. So then with that being said, she, you know, asked people to, like, you know, share with your stories with me, educate me, which is also like, don't ask people to do the work. You fucking go out and do the work and figure it out. So on her next episode, she has on, and it's called Inform Me, she has on political aide and blogger Jessica Flores, who she's been friends with for about 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes on to provide her story as well as insight into what it's like for a victim. It's an hour long. I think at minute 40, they finally started talking about it.
What were they talking about?
Oh, leading up to that, just like, oh.
Just bullshit?
Yeah. Again, to go back to the comment you said where Stassi talked about how, like, she doesn't know anything. She explained to her friend who's a political aide, oh, yeah, remember last year when I didn't want to vote in the election?
Oh, God.
Because, like, I didn't like either candidate. And her friend was like, yeah, that was really upsetting. Like, that's what I do for a living. You need to get out and vote. And Stassi just could be like, our generation just doesn't know shit. Like, we don't give a shit. We don't care. And I'm like,
I 100%
disagree with you. I think our generation cares so deeply about what's been going on that we are freaking out left and right trying to fix things. I think that a 29-year-old, gorgeous LA girl on a reality show doesn't give a shit.
Exactly. She's a few years behind us, but so she's smacking that millennial generation.
Yes.
And I would say the millennials are becoming the most informed generation and self-introspective and interested in changing government to fit what we're going to need, you know, when we get old. I completely disagree with her.
That's what I mean. That's why I was like, okay.
She doesn't know anything or give a
shit. She doesn't know anything or she doesn't give a shit. She's too busy doing other things, and that's great. I mean, I follow her on Instagram. She's in Australia right now having a great time. That's awesome.
Which most millennials can't do because they can't fucking afford it because of this fucking economy.
Exactly. So, like, where is the accountability for your actions as well as, like, relatability. And it's also okay to say, like, guys, this is what I do for a living. This is my industry. I don't know because I just really don't care. And if you want to know about politics, may I suggest another show to go listen to? Like, I'm not going to Stassi's show for, you know, what's happening in the White House. Pod Save America can tell me that. And I know exactly. I'm listening to just people in their own lane. And so, thankfully for us, all we do is talk about podcasts. So we can talk about whatever totally we want to.
Totally
our lane. We can talk about all of these podcasts that span, you know, from one side to another. But I will say, like, it took until minute 40. And I wanted to hear what her conversation was going to be with her friend. And I just had to keep, like, fast-forwarding to get to it. Like, where is the meat of what this episode is about? So her friend finally does say, you know, I really... And, like, again, she's a personal friend. So she's like, I know what's really in your heart. And I know how great you are as a person. And you're so kind. And it's like, ugh, go away with that bullshit. Your friend fucked up. And it's okay to tell them that. And she continues to go on, like, I wish you had had somebody on that podcast with you who was a victim or who works with victims or who knows these stories, who could have told you how wrong you were. Right. Instead, you and another girl for 60 minutes got to tell each other, oh, yeah, that's good. Let me one-up you. Oh, that was good. Let me one-up you more on my opinion. Because the girl was like, listen, I, you know, was sexually abused as a child. And she's like, and by people I know. She was like, these, you know, stories we hear about getting taken up to a hotel room, that is so few and far between. That is that one guy's story. Mm-hmm. But so many women and men have, it's somebody they know. It's in their house. It's a, you know.
And there's a spectrum of the ways.
Exactly. But so she was just like, you assumed based on this one story that this is how it works. You need to understand it more and in a deeper sense. So she's, you know, getting educated on the show and informed and talking about, you know, other listeners' stories. And it's like, I don't know. It's still just like kind of hard to wrap my brain around because is this her place to be, you know, sharing with her listeners and stuff like that? Like, yeah. Is this her lane? She made a mistake. She definitely needs to atone for it, you know, and mm-hmm. do these kinds of things. But it feels mildly disingenuous the entire time when she starts it off with, my generation doesn't give a shit about anything. Can you tell me about sexual violence? It's like your generation has had that happen to them. Uh-huh. Our generation gives a shit. You don't give a shit. And then, it might take a while for me to, like, go back and listen to her again if she's got a really good interviewee on.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The thing that strikes me the most out of everything that you said that I feel like she did wrong is asking victims for their stories. That seems so tone deaf to me.
Yes.
You clearly don't understand the victims because if, you know, the victims who have those tragic stories or even just mild stories, I would not trust someone who just spoke that way about victimhood with my story because those are, you know, personal matters, and I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know how you're going to put it on the air and portray
me. Exactly.
Even for her to ask for stories after what she said, it's so clearly tone deaf.
I, you know, have found out in the past, like, a friend had something happen to them in that kind of way, and I'd never be like, can you tell me your story? It's always like, I am so sorry that happened to you. And then that friend is always like, eventually, if they want to, like, oh, you know, I do feel safe with you. Here's my story. You never ask anybody that. It's... Oh,
I'd ask you how much you made for, you know, like, or your paycheck
How much
is
do you weigh? Like, I'll ask you that first.
I'll ask you that first, for
right?
sure.
It's just there are certain things and, like, a code of personal ethics that we are all supposed to know at this point in time. And it's interesting, especially, you know, with Vanderpump Rules being on right now. So she's going to get a lot of boost over to the podcast. And, you know, she still has sponsorships. Good for girlfriends. She can afford to fly to Australia and hang out there for a couple of days and drink her way through that country. So good for her and all of that. But maybe we go back to what got us here. And, you know, we don't try to find a new lane when the lane you were in was working perfectly fine.
Well, good advice. Do you think Miss Stassi Schroeder will hear us?
She totally is. I mean, by the way, if she ever wants to come to Orlando and hang out, I will still definitely hang out with her and have a cocktail. I have a lot of questions. She does a really great, like, Brigitte Bardot ponytail, and I need to know how because I can't get that with my hair. So there are questions I have for her that are in her lane.
Yeah. Like, why did she get disinvited from Sheena's birthday party just because Sheena was mad at Katie?
Exactly.
I need to know more
I
about
that.
I need
to know. Why has nobody told us that Kristen can sing better than Sheena, but Sheena's putting out Good as Gold, and I turned out on a commercial the other day, we see Kristen singing. What?
And she looked great, too.
She
looked
did.
So put together.
Guys, I still love Vanderpump Rules so much. Like,
yeah.
And is she Team Britney? I'm assuming she's Team Britney and not Team Jax. So Jax makes...
She teamed Britney. According to Jax.
Yeah. I mean, I think that DJ James Kennedy makes amazing television.
I have keys to a Toyota. Come up here if you're missing the keys to your Toyota.
Listen, I love everything about that show. I just think that this was a blip on Stassi's radar, and hopefully she can get back to what she knows. Like, we get back to what we know, and they are podcasts.
Podcasts. I got a podcast pop-up I want to tell you about.
Ooh.
So this podcast is, like, it came across our Instagram as a, hey, you're recommended to follow this based on the stuff that you follow. So we followed it, and then we kind of, like, they started following us back, and we talked to them a little bit. They seem like great girls. Their podcast is called Can We Cult?
Yes, we can.
Which is so in my lane. So it's obviously a podcast about cults. So like that whole true crime, dark, weird shit in life that I love to listen to. And you
know, they have a Scientology one? Because you know I will devour that.
They've got 26 episodes. I listened to their most recent one. And just as a quick look through all of the titles, I don't think they've covered Scientology yet.
Oh, wait.
Perhaps we should suggest it to them.
I'm going to.
Well, maybe we're doing it now, because when we tag them on our Insta, when we post this episode, hopefully they'll give us a listen. But the episode that they just put out, episode 26, they released it just this week, December 14th, and it's called A Very R. Kelly Christmas.
Which is really claustrophobic, so, because it's in the closet.
It came out over the summer that basically R. K. is running like a sex cult. R. Kelly is running... sex cult.
Do you think his friends call him R.K.?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, the women in his cult are like, sup, R.K.?
Like, basically what he does is he finds very young women. He likes them young.
And we know that.
Tells them and tells their families, like, hey, I'm going to make you a star. I'll produce you. Move into my house. And then their families never hear from them again. Yeah. And they... I did read the story over the summer. And forgive me, I'm regurgitating it now. That basically, like... this one girl finally escaped and, like, got back to her mom and kind of told the inside what happens. He tells them exactly what to wear. They are trapped in the house, basically. They
in the
closet. Where he's pissing on them. Yeah. They are used for whatever sex that he wants and not allowed to speak to him or look him in the face unless, you know, they're up on deck.
Oh.
And so, like,
this... You're super creeped out by it, aren't
super
you?
Super creeped out on it and want to know more.
Yeah.
So I'm very much enjoying, I gotta be honest, I'm not done with the episode yet. It's 2.5 hours long.
Oh, hey.
So I started listening to it yesterday on my drive home from where I was out shopping. And then I listened to it while I was in the shower and getting ready today. And I still have probably about another hour to go. So I don't know all the facts yet, but I'm super into it. So, and good job. These girls are funny.
Really? That's awesome. I'm excited.
And if we think we're explicit on this podcast, theirs is a fuckity fuckity fuck 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 show. Like,
oh,
dropping them left and right. So these are our kind
of
gals.
That's so cool. There, I just saw today Leah Remini, who does, of course, my favorite show.
Yes, yes.
The Scientology show on A&E. She's going to come back for her third season, I believe, and is going to go deeper into other cults.
Cool.
So
I think
that's going to be really cool. I just saw a 2020 on Friday about... I want to say Nurium, but that's a multi-level marketing cream that makes me want to punch myself in the face.
Nexium,
I think maybe
that's an allergy pill. But so, it could also be a cult.
It could be a cult, but there was a 2020 about cults and stuff like that. So
cool.
It's super in my ether right now, and I am here for it.
Yeah, I gotta find that on demand. I love 2020.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on the DVR. I totally saved it for you.
Oh, you're the best.
I know.
You
Speaking
are
of things
best.
That are the best, I'm going to go back to Bravo, because it is just the best channel.
It's our favorite channel.
It's my favorite channel. I think if I had to, like... So with net neutrality and everything,
yeah,
if we
this
had to
be
like,
real, what you're
really
about to say.
Be real, if I had to like par down, like if I could only have like 5 channels in
mm-hmm,
my life,
mm-hmm.
it would be Bravo, HGTV,
mm-hmm.
Food Network, maybe like an HBO so I could get like movies on demand.
You know you want to say Hallmark.
No, I think I want to say Freeform because I'm a
13-year-old
girl at heart.
Oh, yeah, you do need Freeform.
But anyway, Bravo. Ranks super high.
Definitely the number one channel that I would need if you were asked, you know, like a list of 5
What can you take to
channels.
A deserted island? Bravo.
Bravo. Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen.
I need
all
it.
Day long.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite shows just ended. It's called Below Deck. I know you've seen
it. Yeah,
you I watch
don't watch
it. You don't watch it. They've got 2 different shows. Below Deck, which is more of the Caribbean one, and then Below Deck Mediterranean.
Right.
I haven't caught on to Below Deck Mediterranean, but with Below Deck and the Caribbean ending, I might... click in over to the Mediterranean when that one just starts. But there is...
So you can listen to the Watch What Crappens, because I follow my Bravo shows now like more religiously than I ever did so that I can listen to the Crappens.
Yeah, and because those guys will do perfect on-point imitations of people, and
yes.
it's like, I want to
so
hear
good.
How do you make this person sound? What did you hear that I didn't? But so on Below Deck, if you don't watch it, it is a show about yachties. So we've got Captain Lee, who is this sex pot old dude captain who takes no shit from anybody. And he has the greatest phrases. He's always like, I'm more pissed than pissed on chicken or something. I'm madder than a pissed on chicken. I'm like, yeah, I guess that works.
I see what you mean, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, you've got the chef, you've got your stews who kind of take care of the inside of the deck. I'm sorry, inside of the boat, as well as the charter guests. You've got the deckhands, and they're all living together, and some of them are all sleeping together. The whole thing.
Tight quarters when you're on a boat. Yeah.
So After Deck is a podcast with Kate Chastain, and she is the chief stew on the ship. Exactly. She's the chief stew on the ship, and she's been on it for a couple of seasons, and her and Captain Lee are just the best of buds. Because a lot of these people all live in Florida, and that's where, you know, these people live, and then they go down to the Caribbean for charter season. So with After Deck, Kate will do like a recap of the show that you just watched earlier in the week, mm-hmm. and then she'll also bring on another person from the crew. So maybe she'll have on, you know, her third cheese or her third stew or a deckhand, and they kind of recap the whole thing. So I just listened to her with Captain Lee this week, and they just had the cutest little conversations. They were talking about how she went to go visit him in South Florida, and he made her a drink that I think I want to try.
Okay, tell me.
Bailey's and soda.
What?
I know.
Doesn't it curdle in
soda? I don't
soda?
Think so.
Like fizzy?
No, I think it probably is like an egg cream.
Is there Do
you know what those are? Where you have like soda water, but like chocolate syrup, uh-huh. and like somehow you make it taste like milkshake.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is it on the rocks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so this would all be on the rocks. But they were drinking that. And I was like, I think I want to try that.
All right. I think we have some Baileys. It might be old
and
style.
And I, of course, have sparkling water in this place. But anyway, like I said, they just kind of talked about the end of the show, what it was like to do the reunion. And Kate lives in Melbourne, Florida, which is barely an hour away.
Down the road.
And on our vision board, we have to eventually interview other podcasters.
Yeah, we
and she would be super amazing. I think we can get in the car, head over to Melbourne.
Oh, we got to travel? She's bigger than us, isn't she?
She is.
She's got a TV show and a podcast.
Uh-huh.
She wins.
She's not coming to Orlando. She's at the coast. So, yeah, it would be really cool if we were able to talk to her about what it's like to be on Below Deck, what it's like to have a podcast. She's a Bravo celebrity.
Yes.
That's one step closer to Andy Cohen. I mean, I think we need to make this happen. Anyway, they just ended the season. She's going to take a break. And I hope that she comes back and recaps Below Deck Mediterranean when that starts. Because I love her podcast and I don't want to let that go.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. I have so much fun talking to you today.
I know. And this one, totally different. We didn't talk about murder. We didn't talk about murder at all. But it was super fun. Love. 36
super
questions.
Fun.
So much Bravo. A deep dive into staying in your lane.
The only thing that would make it better, I think, is if our listeners talked to us.
I think that would actually make it amazing.
We want to hear from you guys. Catch
Please.
Us on Instagram or Twitter at handle at podcastrwd or send us an email at podcastrwd@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can search us out on Facebook. It's quick and easy.
Yep.
Podcast Rewind.
Rewind, the whole word.
Leave us a note. What are you listening to? We got a couple posts earlier this week. You know, Amy posted some stuff about what are the top 10 podcasts throughout the year.
Yeah,
so it's an easy way to get a hold of us. But another way to check out what we are doing is I am on Instagram and Twitter at Erica Jarvis, and I'm Erica with a K, and you can keep up with me, my blog, my podcast, my life.
Or me, Amy Randolph. Handle is at I'm Amy Randolph. Amy spelled A-M-I-E.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Erica, you ready to do the rest of this Sunday? We got some cool stuff planned for this podcast.
I'm so excited. We are going to hit stop.
Yep.
And but
it's me stuff.
We're going to do some stuff today, but you know what we're always going to do?
Is be kind.
And rewind. Bye, guys.
Bye.